Sally.
No, no, I'm all right. When they once started,
you're all right. Sure, I'm all right. No, so.
He's trying to figure out which poem because he
doesn't know. So I'll tell where I was born.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll start right.
Stop from where I'm born, eh?
From the very beginning, Mr. Melnikov. First of all, are you starting? Maybe you can tell us. We just want to get him to talk about so we can test his voice.
Yeah.
Do you go to the Freundschaft Club?
He doesn't miss it in any kind of way.
Sure.
Do they have many members?
They have many members. We started. I am the first member from the Freundschaft Club.
Oh, is that right?
We started 7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And we have meetings every week, Thursday.
He calls it.
Don't you know that?
Try to talk. Try to talk.
Oh, I said, you want to put this too?
Yeah, I'm just testing your voice.
But then he sent her to me, so let him get that in. I try to help him make a
point. I, Ruben Melnikov, born in Russia, Boguslav, Kievskiy Guberny. Came to America 1892. Just with I have my wife with me.
Mr. Melnikov, do you want to tell
Best me? Was married at that time, see? And then we started. I was looking for a job, and I went in the first day. I went into the I went into a job, and the foreman comes to me right across me and say, what do you want? And I thought he says in Russia, Пошёл вон. You know, in Russia, this Пошёл вон. So I went back and asked my people, what are they talking in Russia here? And they say, no, they can't see what they told you. They said, Пошёл вон, no? He said, maybe they told you, what do you want? So I went the other day and I got a job and started for $1 a day. And the boss gave me some tools, you know. I'm a cabinet maker from the home, a carpenter. So the boss gave me the tools with the bench, and I worked there. And I worked there, that was 1892. And they start to vote for president for
Harrison?
Grover Cleveland. You know, when I came here was Harrison that time president. And they start to vote for Cleveland. So they took me to the city hall and gave me some papers and gave me the first papers and I voted at that time. But when Cleveland was elected, then came the Depression that time, 1893. And my boss stopped. They didn't have no work. So I went around and I found another factory. It was Hollendorf Manufacturing Company, the second. And I worked there, and they told me. Then I went around between the Jews, and they told me I should go in the Jewish center and ask the president to give me a job. So I went up there, and that time was President
Cleveland?
Huh?
Cleveland, Grover Cleveland?
What was it? I give to you.
Roosevelt, I think it was. It was shot here in Milwaukee, wasn't it? Wasn't that Roosevelt? The man that was
McKinley?
Shot.
Huh?
McKinley.
No, the president from the Jewish Center, I won't say. You know, you marked it that time.
Friend.
Huh?
Mr. Mervis, you mean?
No, yes. Gross. Bernard Gross. And Bernard Gross gave me a job. He couldn't get a job in the factory. He gave me a job by him in his home. And I worked there about a couple of weeks, paying me for it, and I made him a bookcase by hand, in his house, that time. And at that time that happened, there was an old man, Bernard Gross' father, and he wants to show me that he knows Jewish, you know. He was German Jewish. So he says, now, he says he is a member, as a Grossvater used to eat matzen in Yom Kippur. You know what it is. So when I come here, the Jews didn't have no shul, you know. They didn't have. They used to dump in the Market Street. They had in a stall. You know what a stall means? In a stall, they had a minion in like a dump there. Then, in a short time, the Litvish and the Russians and Malmö all get down together. Then the Litvish is on the back from the Russians, and the Russians is on the blim on a thing. The Litvish is on the gun, and on the rent a plot and finished it, and
Fifth
Street, no?
Fifth Street.
Fifth Street, the Russians on the The whole zusammengenommen, jeder hat gegeben a dollar oder half a dollar. Und wir haben mal weggeschickt. We send a man to Chicago to buy a new Torah, you know. And he bought the Torah for his son. He didn't have money to pay it for all of it. So they bought one for his son. And we ran the first place on 16 Cherry. It was an old building. We paid $35 a month, and we dumped out there. The Russian young people, we used to go in the hall. Downtown was a clef hall, some hall, they call it. We dumped out there. And then, in a short time after that, the Litvish bought the first boat. No, the Litvish built the first shul on Fifth Street.
He was a builder, it was interesting.
And Russia, a couple of years later, the flat, you know. We built a shul on 16th Street. And I was the builder out there. And that time I built it, the shul, I built it twice there, the shul, and then this shul, what we got now, I remodeled that from, you know, it was a church, so I remodeled that for a shul.
How about the Litvish shul, when the Litvish shul went into bankruptcy? The Litvish shul went into
bankruptcy? Yeah, that, oh. When the little shul built the first building, that shul, I used to work for the contractor from the building. And he had a job for $8,000, and they didn't have to pay. You know, they didn't have the money, so they promised him every year in Yom Kippur, Russian Yom Kippur, they paid him, they paid the money. He used to go every Yom Kippur, collect, and they pushed him up from 1 year to the other, till they went bankruptcy, you know, you couldn't collect nothing. No.
Do you remember Rabbi Sheinfeld?
Yeah. Rabbi Sheinfeld. That was the roof. That was one rabbi that time. Rabbi Sheinfeld. He was from the Litvisha and from the Rush, you know. Or myself and Hansi Sfard and Hansi... what do they call it?
He was the head of all the temples at that time. The chief rabbi.
And they used to pay a cent for, used to pay for chicken 5 cents and 1 cent for the rabbi, for Rabbi Sheinfeld, you know.
For the prayer.
For every chicken he used to pay him a cent.
Collect a penny royalty.
When you came here,
huh?
There were all Reformed Jews.
The Svartan Jews paid them and the Rush, the Litvish.
You ought to sit over here, I can hear you there.
When you came here...
You're going to get up and turn that away from the mic.
When you came here, Mr. Melnikov,
yeah.
There were mostly Reformed Jews, German Jews.
Yeah.
And were there many Orthodox Jews?
Sure. Oh, it was about... It wasn't much, but...
About 50?
Well, a couple of hundred.
All right.
Where did most of them come from?
Well, that's the idea, but you couldn't say. Some of them come from the Litvisha, that's why I call them Litvisha and Russisha, you know. But some of them both from the Litvisha, and some of them Ungarische, and some of them Romanische, and some... Russia, the most of was Ukraine that time.
Do you remember the pogroms in Kiev?
The what?
In Kiev, the pogroms.
The pogroms? Yeah, I went from that time. That was the pogrom in Kiev, that time.
This is
I went away. The rental was like you say here,
You left Kiev because of the pogroms?
Yeah, that's right.
And where? How did you come to America? What way did you come to America?
Oh, that's a long time. That's a long to say too. So then, I see we stole the greens. We paid a man that was about 15, 20 people. We paid the men and brothers over the greens from Russia to Germany. See, that was in Memel. We stopped in Memel. German.
By boat?
No.
By train?
By train, what's the matter? You stop. So from Germany we went to Hamburg by boat. From Hamburg we went to Berlin. From Berlin we went to England. England, what they call the main city, I don't remember.
Liverpool?
Manchester.
And from there we took the boat to America. 18 days we went from Manchester to New York, to Boston. We stopped in Boston.
How did you come to Milwaukee? How did you get to Milwaukee?
My brother-in-law's uncle was here, he had a shop, a junk shop. Jack Robert. So we'll, and my brother-in-law went meet together. I helped him, the children, you know. He had about 7 children, my brother-in-law. I helped him to come over, and he went up here.
Mm-hmm. How did you get to Milwaukee, Mr. Melnikov?
Oh, well, I'm telling you, from Boston. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I came to Milwaukee with the boat. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they sent us that time. Mm-hmm. You know, we stopped in Boston. From Boston, we put in a train, they put us in a train and sent us, I think it was a, what do you call it?
Along the Erie Canal or along the Great Lakes?
To Buffalo?
No, no, yeah. All right, somewhere we sat on a boat and we come to Milwaukee with the boat.
And where did you stay when you first got to Milwaukee?
Well, it was on North Water and Market Street.
Mm-hmm. And where did most of the Jews live who were in Milwaukee at that time?
Where was?
Where did most of the Jews live who were in Milwaukee at that time?
Well, I lived on Market Street, and I lived in Knapp Street, and I lived that time on 10th and Lloyd Street. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember anymore. Raised the children all over.
Were there many people who worked at trades like you did?
No, not much. Fences and Northwestern Furniture Company, that was my first job. And I meet that one fella, he's not alive too. I forget his name.
He encouraged his own relatives to take up his carpentry trade when he brought him over.
Mm-hmm. Did you peddle when you came to to Milwaukee?
No, I worked it and when I stopped at Water Depression that time, then I bought an ocean wagon and started to peddle potatoes. And I peddled it, in summertime, you know, when it started to be cold, I was with my ocean wagon in North Milwaukee that time. And I see a furniture factory goes. The air comes from the chimney. So I thought I'd go in and ask for a job. And I went in out there. And come, he says, well, we could give you a job, but if you work for 75 cents an hour, you know, a cabinet maker. 75 cents an hour. And I took the job and I worked. It's 75 cents. A day, maybe. I mean, 75 cents a day. I forget. You say no. And then I worked in the trains manufacturers, the West Ellis was, where they make those trains.
Do you remember the community center when you came here, Mr. Melnikov?
Huh?
The community center when you came here in 1892.
Well, that's what I said. The Gross Brothers was the president. Gross, Bernard Gross was the president from the Jewish center. That was the community. Community and the Jewish.
What was there? Was there a building when you came here? Or
downtown they had. It was on Broadway. I don't remember which street, but they had downtown an office. Yeah, then an office.
And what were the activities that they had at the Jewish Center?
Well, everybody, a concept, a greener, they come there and they give them they looked for a job for him and so far, you know.
Did you ever belong to a Jewish labor union?
Yeah, I used to belong to sure. No, not the Jewish. I belong to a union in union. And I worked in the labor shops on West Ellis. We worked for 20 cents an hour, and we started to strike for 2 cents more. We went around for 6 months and come back for the same amount. They wouldn't give us.
Do you remember the early facilities for hospitals when you first came here?
Yeah, the Jewish hospital. It was on 5th near Walnut. Was a little hospital there. And then they stopped, in a couple of years, they stopped to build the Mount Sinai Hospital. That's all it is.
That's all I have right now. Do you remember any of the rabbis, any of the other rabbis who were here?
I don't remember their names. I know it was Kretschmer.
Do you want to tell us something about your life in Russia, in Kiev, before you came to America?
Yeah.
How old were you when you left Kiev?
See, I was a laborer and a Jew doesn't live there. You got to have a special permit, what they call. So I came there when a brother-in-law used to live there. And he was a rich fella, not the same. So he had what they call a special permit. He was to live for there. And I worked out there under his special permit. Well, they catch me and they give me jail, you know. And from there he brought me up with a little money, you know, and take me out, and then I went to America from there. They had plenty of trouble, you know.
You tell us what the trouble was like.
Huh?
You tell us more about what the trouble was like.
That's right.
What kind of trouble was there in Kiev?
Well, it doesn't sit in there, not in this street, not in the other street, and not there, and that's trouble, you know.
Was there was there killing?
No,
discrimination?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't go to school, never went to school.
Doesn't live in that street, you know. Got to live in that street.
What kind of an education did you, a religious education did you have, Mr. Melnikov?
Oh, I didn't have much, but my father was a real rabbi. They wanted to make him for rabbi, and he wouldn't want it. Well, it's not my story of Jesus. My mother had 16 children. I'm one from the 16, you know. And my father his mother gave it 6 thousand trouble nothing, you know. And his father gave it 4 thousand trouble. And they sat here and they sat the woman in business. And my father used to go to the rabbi, went away from Pesa, he stayed there till Yontem. If Yontem he comes home, and she had another child, then he comes after Yontem, go again to the rabbi.
Why did you come to America? Why America rather than any other place?
Oh well, at that time, you know, America was the thing. And they all said, No, said, I'm a carpenter, a cabinet maker. I will be rich here. So I went to America.
Did you
come home? Yeah.
Did you
come home? What else you remind me?
Is there anything else that you could add?
Do
you want to say something about your family?
How his son has only education.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And he became a doctor. I lost all his money in the last depression. Despite all hardships.
Yeah, I had six.
Education for the children.
I had six children. One died. He was 29 years. He died.
One of the biggest in the
advertising. And the one is a doctor now, and she's four daughters.
Everyone had a fine.
Three are married, and one is single yet. And two are in Chicago, and two in Milwaukee.
And the grandson was the smartest in his class. You want to know that?
Do you want to say something about your grandson?
Yeah, I got the. I got one grandchild. He's studied now, doctor, in Philadelphia.
And
he's a very good boy. That's what I could say.
His name is Gordon.
My son's got two children, a boy and a girl.
Join the circle and tell us some stories.
That's why I was so late. How come you
feel
so late?
I'm doing
wassail.
Shopping.
You know,
it's a holiday today, and by the time I come, I was a little bit late. I knew I was going to be late, but I thought, well, I'll go just the same.
You got in time just to be recording.
Don't tell me you're going to record that one.
I didn't get a bit.
Good.
Well,
I'm
going to
stay anymore now. It's still being recorded.
Well, what is the land like here? Was it just wooded or was it stony too, like in some
sections? Stones and more stony.
It's still stony.
You should see the stone piles out in the field.
Now, but there was all wood when they did come here first. It was just wood
and stone.
Yeah, mostly because they were logging the woods. Mostly all the places were wood.
Well, a lot of them didn't see the rocks.
They couldn't see the wood.
They only seen the wood. Was virgin timber.
Yeah, when they start plowing, then they're picking all the stones up. Stones up on stones. They got a lot of stone piles.
Stone fences, that's all you see around. Stone fences. Rock fences.
Yeah. And some places there is pretty good land without stones too, but it's in spots.
Because we have all heavy land here now. It's all heavy.
No.
Mostly.
Towards around here, it's lighter soil. You go further east, it's heavier.
What do you mean by heavier, lighter soil?
A sandier and loamier.
That's the heavy.
Mm-hmm. Sand is the light soil.
And which is the best?
The loamy.
The heavy soil.
Heavy soil is your best soil.
Well, the only bad part about the heavy soil is that we get a late start in the spring. Whereas people with the lighter soil get started much earlier.
But you have to think, in August when it gets dry, you with the heavy...
You benefit
so much more.
And because our soil is still damp, whereas theirs is good and dry by then.
It's lighter.
And what happened to the timber? Did these paper and lumber companies buy it up?
Oh no, the farmers were selling it, logging it out and selling it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's how they made their living.
Most of it
went to the paper mills and to the lumber mills.
Paper mill, and some of it went to Rothschilds. They haul it with
Schofield.
Mm-hmm. They haul it with horses.
Did you see Yaki Alexander at that time? He was there.
I remember my brother-in-law used to say that they'd load up early in the morning. He'd leave early in the morning and wouldn't be back with
about
the team.
4 o'clock in the morning, come back about 7 o'clock in the evening.
7, 9 o'clock at the wages. That's the best.
The roads were just
and what did they get for a load of logs?
Well, logs were good, but I guess when they went out working, $1.25 a day, they had to walk to the mill and back. 4 o'clock in the morning, they'd have to start and come back. It was about 7, 8. They only got $1.25 a day. Now they didn't even get more for an hour.
Do you remember how much they got for a load of logs?
Pa, do you remember how much the logs were selling for?
Nope.
Yeah, when you took a load of logs.
$35 a thousand for birch.
If you have good logs, good logs, Boston and the best wood over there. Oak, you pay better, but if you have good logs, you can get it $35 for a load.
For a load.
Uh-huh.
Well, now it's only about, what, 65 or 70, a thousand, isn't it?
That's
not birch.
For well, now.
That's not all birch.
Well, it's not birch, no, it's pine or some other
hemlock.
Yeah.
4 years ago, we sold birch for $135.
And then at the beginning, when they cut the logs, then they used to get dynamite by the carloads here. And each farmer would take that much, and they used to dynamite the stumps in order to work that soil.
Pull them out with horses.
Yeah. And each farmer had dynamite at home. In a shed someplace. Today, we fear it, but in them days it was nothing.
Well, that the government did give them that much help is by providing the dynamite $7 a ton. It was that cheap that they gave it to them to, for that one reason, is that they could get it cheaper to work out that soil faster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good, especially when they're
a very guest.
It's a guest.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Mrs. Zelonko.
The camera being recorded.
You're recording.
Then I said it.
Give me the coat.
She's a farmer and homemaker. Left that club about a year ago, but nevertheless, you didn't forget, did you?
No. Well, the only way we started with 23 members, we now have 16 members.
Mm-hmm.
Was because some of them moved out of the vicinity.
Now maybe we can talk about the memories of your parents, how they compared Wisconsin to Poland. You were telling me a while back that strawberries grew bigger in Poland than they do here, and everything was better.
Christmas, Easter.
May 3rd?
Yes.
Yeah, May 3rd. That's a Polish holiday. What is May 3rd?
That's a Polish Independence Day.
Kościuszko's Day, they call it Kościuszko's Day. Mm-hmm. I knew that myself, but I wanted you to explain it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And who is Kościuszko?
Yeah. He's a Polish patriot.
He is the one who joined forces with George Washington?
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Blaski. Blaski and Kościuszko.
Blaski, Kościuszko, Blaski.
And Washington together.
Well, do you have monuments to these men anywhere in this area?
Well, we have a school named Kościuszko. Yeah. I think that's a good monument.
Mm-hmm. And there's a statue in Stevens Point?
I think there is.
Yes, there is.
Well, Pulaski vicinity, not too far away is Pulaski.
That's it.
Yeah.
We had two schools. Well, one is sold, but one was Sobieski, wasn't it?
Yeah, that
Belchitsky school. Sobieski, Pulaski, and Kościuszko.
Typically Polish.
That's John Sobieski.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's three holidays. Do you celebrate more? Christmas Eve, Easter, May the 3rd. What else?
I think that's about all we don't.
What about today? Or just
that's a Catholic holiday.
Catholic holiday.
We observe all the Catholic holidays.
And what about August the 15th?
That's also a Catholic holiday. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin.
Mm-hmm.